Midnight Love Affair, and it's 22 past six at the time. Carol Douglas, that was. Train times. The Southern Aurora is coming in at 9 on time. They're all on time. Spirit of Progress, the big ones, I mean. The Spirit of Progress is on time due at 9.55. The Vinelander's on time due at 7.50. The Overland is 20 minutes late. Oh, recalcitrant Overlander. What happened? Did you get stuck at Bordertown? That's the place not to get stuck at, I can assure you. It's 20 minutes late, due at 9.20. Nearly was 20 minutes late, the Overland. I think the driver has a girlfriend somewhere between here and Bordertown, actually. He probably slows down and gives her a whistle. Suburban trains are on time except for the Williamstown line, which is running up to 8 minutes late due to track work. That's the stuff on it, of course, the rolling stock, not the track itself running 10 minutes late, 8 minutes late. Yes, running 8 minutes late due to track work. They wouldn't be doing track work at this time of the morning in the pouring rain, would they? I mean, the fellow wouldn't be on with the flag, yet, would he? Stand, you know, the two fellows who always stand there, they use for the same jobs in all suburbs. Have you noticed they're the same men? I don't know how they do it. They get from one place to the other in a split second. But there's the same fellow there with a flag on all jobs, on all lines. He looks exactly the same kind of hat, jacket, everything. It's 23 past six. It's rather like the fellow who rides home in the W10. Have you seen the W... I think it's the W10. The track maintenance wagon, when I come in the morning. Well, there's a fellow in the back of it, which would be the front if it was going the other way, and he has a bucket and a flag, and he has his hat pulled down over his face, and he's having a snooze. And it's the same chap every morning. It's 23 and a half past six the time.
I do. I want to tell you. You want.
It's at 27 minutes past six the time, and you won't find another fool like me. It's what I meant to put on when Mr. Duckman was telling you all the other day how wonderful I was. Incidentally, he was sitting with crossed legs. You didn't notice that, did you? And he had his fingers crossed, and he had his eyes crossed, and when he was telling everyone about the extraordinary Evans man, I think he was praying that he wouldn't be struck down and punished for thinking differently. But no, he was... what was I talking about? Oh, yes. When he said how, you know, getting up at 4 a.m. and all that sort of thing, he wouldn't admit that I was brilliant, of course. He just said, oh, he's very good at getting up at 4 a.m. That's about as far as he would go. I felt like playing You Won't Find Another Fool Like Me, but I couldn't find the record at the time. It's 28 past six the time. He didn't mention more money, incidentally, did he, after all that? No. Yes. Did you hear about the San Quentin prisoners, three inmates from the prison in San Francisco Bay, when it was a prison, of course? That was Sing Sing, wasn't it? Wasn't it the one they called Sing Sing, San Quentin? Well, the island, the Alcatraz. Is that the same thing? Alcatraz is in San Francisco Bay, isn't it? Was that really San Quentin, or Alcatraz, or what? I'm getting all mixed up now. Anyway, they lost three inmates from the prison quite some time before it closed down, the island, I mean. They built a 14-foot kayak, these prisoners, and they called it Rub-a-Dub-Dub, and they paddled slowly off into the sunset, and they're still missing. So nobody really knows whether they escaped or not. It's 28 and a half past six the time, and that burglar alarm has gone off again. Can you hear it? Isn't there a law against that sort of thing? They're supposed to be able to switch them off, aren't they? Must drive the neighbours crazy. Incidentally, there was a disaster recently at O'Hare Airport in Chicago, which you may have read about. I wouldn't have thought this, but it's the world's busiest airport there. I always thought Rome would be one of the busiest. Rome is a very, very busy airport. The world's busiest airport, I'm assured, is O'Hare, Chicago. Planes land or take off at a rate of one every 45 seconds. Some of those American airports are rather hair-raising when you're sitting in a plane, because I've done this. I've taken off at Tacoma, that's the Seattle airport. I've taken off there with another plane taking off in parallel and very, very close, almost wingtip to wingtip, and I thought to myself, God, strike a light, you know. But that's the way they have to do it over there. Otherwise, they'd never get anything off the ground. It's 6:30 the time. Motorists keep spotting a UFO on Baltimore highways at night, but it's only local bartender Charlie Chisholm taking Big Daddy Rat for a spin. Chisholm plasters his motorbike with 1,450 lights. They all work, incidentally. 3,500 rhinestones, and he did this to get into the Guinness Book of Records. And when he travels along the highway, Big Daddy Rat shines and glitters and glistens and twinkles all over. Oh, dear, oh, dear. I think he's as mad as a snake. Still, he's in the Guinness Book of Records, and that was his aim. It's 29 and a half to seven, and that damn thing's still going. I wonder where it belongs to. It's probably a government building. Private enterprise would have been shut up long ago. Melbourne, rainy day with a top of 16. Sound terribly unpleasant. It's 27 minutes to 7, and that was Magic Carousel from the soundtrack of Roller Coaster. It was a film, wasn't it? If everyone in Britain went to the seaside together, they'd have 3 feet of coast each. Imagine the touching that would go on. God, strike a light. I'm always reminded of Weston-super-Mare and places like on the other side of the Wash, a place I used to go called past King's Lynn there. I'm just trying to think of it. Horsham. I've forgotten the name of it. But it was on the Wash, and the tide used to go out for miles there. We used to go clamming. And they used to have these bathing boxes that were wheeled down to the sea. You know, the ladies used to get into them, and the great brawny men would wheel them down to the sea, and they could get in, step into the sea without being seen by ogling eyes. That seems only yesterday, and that was quite some years ago. I should imagine that they would have gone by now, unless they stuck them there for old time's sake, perhaps. It's 25 and a half to 7. Yes, 3 feet of coastline each. Did you know that the oil that sardines is packed in is more valuable than the sardines, and that's why they're all packed so tightly? How they're packed, of course, it remains a mystery to a lot of people. The truth is that the tins are lowered into the sea and the sardines swim in. But the difficult part is that the second half of the sardines have to back in. And it's the training of the sardines to back in like that that makes them wedge them in and fit them so tightly, you see. Yes, sardines cost less than the oil in which they are packed, which is the why they are wedged in so tightly. Because I always wonder why there are no gaps in a sardine tin. Here's another very wishy-washy one. A lorry loaded with soap. You can tell it's from England, can't you? A lorry. A lorry loaded with soap was hijacked outside a village in the west of England the other week, and the village was called Washing, or is called Washing, I should say. So that's a soapy suds one. Here's a funny one from America. At 106, Henry James, or Henry Jones, rather, of Harlem, I was thinking of the author, is New York's oldest man, and don't ever doubt his faculties. I've smoked all my life, he said, and if you're fool enough to ask him if he drinks, he springs the trap. Sure, if you're buying, he says. God, I was only thinking of this fanaticism for statistics that certain nations have. West Germans are number one on the list, I think. They have statistics of all sorts and sizes. But America isn't far behind. But here's one which fuels the eternal debate on the relative merits of men and women drivers. A report that the average American man has a road accident every 48,000 miles, while Mrs. Average goes 11,000 miles further before hitting anything or being hit. So there you are. It's 23 to 7.
Very young, what will you leave us this time? You're only dancing on this earth for a short while. And though your dreams may toss and turn you now, they will vanish away like your dad's best jeans, denim blue, fading up to the sky. And though you want them to last forever, you know we never will. You know. She's made the goodbye hardest thing. Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time? There'll never be a better chance to change your mind. And if you want this world to see better days, will you carry the words of a love with you? Will you ride the great white bird in together? And though you want to last forever, you know you never will. You know you never will. Goodbye makes the journey harder still. young, what will you leave us this time? You're only dancing on this earth for a short while. Oh, very young, what will you leave us this time?
Uh-huh, 21 to 7. A thief wearing only a pair of pants on his head pinched a female clerk's bottom and stole 3 sex magazines from a shop in Painesville, Ohio. Poor chap. And did you know that Victorian doctors used to recommend cigar smoking as a relief for people who suffered from asthma? As a matter of fact, I think that marijuana smoking has been... wasn't that chap from America? Wasn't he an asthmatic or something? I've heard that it is used by certain people for that reason. I don't know whether it's probably just a placebo, but still. Wine snobs should avoid Omaha, USA. And the waitress in one of the city's better hotels solemnly uncorked a costly bottle of Burgundy and then broke the spell by saying, "I just hope it's cold enough, gentlemen, but I can always put it back in the fridge." This business about chilling red wines and, you know, this snobbery that goes on about wines. I think something on the Kurtzman show the other night would show how much balderdash it all is when 3 experts had to do 3 wines they couldn't see and balled up the whole thing, actually. But I don't think they could have been very good, because I've known ones to say what side of the hill the grape was grown on, more or less, in Europe anyway. But this business about wines, red, white, yellow, green, if you like them chilled, chill them. That's my advice. If you like sherry with ice, have it. All this business about the room temperature and so forth, you have it at the temperature you like it. If you like red wine chilled, drink it chilled. And the best of luck to you. Don't let anyone put you off by turning their nose in the air or saying things like, "Oh, no, I couldn't drink that," or something. They're probably dying to drink it, you know, but they wouldn't admit it because it's not in the etiquette book or something. But don't be put off by a lot of balderdash about drink and food. You have it the way you like it. And if it just happens to be not the way it says in the book, to hell with the book. Somebody had to write the book in the first place. It's 18 and a half. Be innovative, like me. You don't get very popular, but at least you enjoy yourself. It's 18 to 7. I was asked for beer and shock them out of their socks.
Oh, the sun. Like
It's 16-7, and that was some sweet summer lovin' from Dolly Parton, with whom I would most enjoy some what she was singing about. All suburban trains are now on time. That's the latest news from Vic Rail. The other news, before we cross to the news, is that there's an initial priority strong wind warning just issued, and I'm going to pass it on to you for Victorian coastal waters east of Wilson's Promontory. 20 to 30 knot northeast wind is expected ahead of a southwesterly change later in the day. Mainly moderate seas, you'll be glad to know. Mainly moderate seas. Now, if you want the interstaters, Canberra's going to be rainy and windy, which suits them, 26. Adelaide showers 16, Sydney windy 31, late thunderstorms. Darwin fine 35, showers for Perth with a top of 19. Hobart periods of rain 16, Brisbane fine 30. In Melbourne, we are going to have a stinker with a top of 16. Well, rain anyway. What a forecast. Rain 16. I suppose Kevin Hines will be pleased. It's 6:45. This is the national news from the ABC, read by Graham Connolly. This morning, the telecom dispute, due to go before the Arbitration Commission in Melbourne. Detailed exploration and development going ahead at the mineral deposits at Roxby Downs in South Australia. The field of design entries for the new Parliament House in Canberra narrowed down. American interest rates rise again. Indonesia setting free more political prisoners. The future direction of the telecom dispute will become clear in Melbourne this morning, when a full bench of the Arbitration Commission begins a hearing into the wage claim by telecom technicians. The technicians have given their union authority to boycott today's hearing and to begin a campaign of industrial action. The executive of the Telecommunications Employees Association was meeting late last night to decide what to do. Any decision will be announced before the full bench begins its hearing in Melbourne at 10:30 this morning. The way has been cleared for detailed exploration and development of the Roxby Downs mineral deposits in South Australia. The acting Federal Treasurer, Mr. Robinson, said the Foreign Investment Review Board had approved the project by the Western Mining Corporation and BP, which provides for 51% Australian equity. Mr. Robinson said the development would ultimately involve capital expenditure of more than $1,000 million. Deposits of uranium, copper, and gold have been found at Roxby Downs. Design entries for the new Parliament House in Canberra have been narrowed down to 5. The Minister for the Capital Territory, Mr. Ellicott, says 2 entries are from Australia and 3 from overseas. The finalists are John Bickerdike, Britain, Richard Thorpe, United States, Christopher Waite, Canada, Colin Madigan, North Sydney, and John Denton, Melbourne. A further 10 of the 329 entries have been judged as prize winners and will each receive $20,000. Mr. Ellicott says the designs of the prize winners will remain confidential until August next year. There's a limit of $150 million on the design, which must be located on Capitol Hill and completed by 1988. Interest rates are still going up in the United States. The Chase Manhattan Bank began the latest round of increases yesterday by putting up its prime lending rate by 1% to 14.5%. Other major banks are following. The bank's action is in response to a tighter credit policy on the part of the United States Federal Reserve Board. The announcement of the higher interest rates has led to heavy selling of stocks.